Let us pray. O gracious God, we thank you for once again opening the scripture to all of us. And we pray that we may indeed discern new ways and new relationship because of what you are going to say and reveal in our own hearts. And now may the words that I speak and the meditations of our own hearts always be pleasing and always be acceptable unto you, for you are my Lord, you are my rock, and you are my gracious and holy Redeemer. Amen. According to the book of James, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And then Jesus said, it's all in the heart. It's not about rigid purity laws and about the strict rules of living that makes us closer to the heart of God. Jesus, obviously, without any doubt in my own mind and in the scripture, that he followed a pattern of living that is always aligned with the will of God for his life. Because without this pattern of living, it would have been difficult for Jesus to connect to a group of people who are looking for a life that truly matters. I wish the sun is up, but you know, we haven't seen the brightness and the heat of the sun, especially last week. But I know that if the sun is hot and you know, you've got a lot of laundry, especially down comforters, it's the right time to do that, right? I think the village of Schomburg allows people to hang their down comforters outside, but some communities don't, isn't it? They're very strict in terms of allowing these kinds of daily routines. So I didn't know anything about down comforters. I've never met a down comforter in my life. Until some cool September morning many years ago in a seminary housing, when I decided I want to meet this down comforter that I've read all the time. And I have never met static electricity also. And I realized that after snuggling warmly in the warmth of that down comforter, that such a thing as static electricity happened. So every time I touched the doorknob, I got this static electricity. So I thought, what in the world is going on? I'm new around here, and perhaps this is what they say about culture shock in the United States. But it's worth a try. I don't think there is a connection, but I think there's worth a try about down comforters. I'm not sure about static electricity. It's a curious thing, because once you open up a down comforter, I'm not suggesting that you should do this, either by accident or by intent, I read that you will find something like whatever it is, cotton, something feathery or something. You know, I give credit to one of the author who wrote something beautiful about down comforters. And her name is Marcy Newman. And she said, when you open a down comforter and you touch the fabric, the feathery or the cottony or whatever fabric it is, you will notice that there are a lot of spaces bubbling up in between. And she said that precisely because these spaces are present, these are the spaces that produce warmth and comfort. So when you snuggle, either by yourself or with your loved one, it is this kind of dynamic, that the chemistry that happens all the time. It provides a certain kind of rest and restoration. And she said, it's kind of interesting, it may just be the model for the church, for the way we shape our faith. That is saying that when we allow space to happen, significant things do happen in our own lives, and we make great things as a community of faith. And so when I look at the scripture, I look at the words of Jesus, and I realize I think the author is into something. Because the rulers, the Pharisees, were all about observing rules and regulations. But Jesus is saying, create a space in your own lives. Remember what Matthew said, for wherever your treasure is, there you will be also. It is about the context in which we connect with one another. And when we connect with one another, we connect with the awesome power of God. So Jesus is about creating space. And when Jesus creates space, it is an intentional space because it seeks the goodness not only of God, but it seeks the goodness of God in our own hearts. But look at the scripture again. These are the people who have been moving from one place to another. They were comfortable in doing their job. They were very happy at what they were doing. A tax collector, fisherman, a physician, an accountant, and other occupations. They were happy with what they were doing. And all of a sudden, Jesus came to the scene and Jesus said, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men and women. But if you look at the Old Testament story, there's also a group of people, a migrant people who escaped from captivity into the promised land. And what was interesting is that I had this conception when I first read the scripture that these same people who escaped from slavery to captivity to freedom and who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years were the same group of people who entered into the promised land. It was not the case. According to the scripture, Moses was not able to go there except Joshua, the commander, who was able to lead his people. And it was not the same people. According to the scripture, it was a new generation of people who were able to cross into the promised land. So Jesus said, you know, you keep on following the rules, but you are not really following the commandments of God. But all of a sudden, in this scripture, and I want to say that Jesus is not against following the rules. No, that's not what Jesus is up to. But Jesus is about changing hearts and minds so that we can focus our hearts to Jesus. All of a sudden, there is this wonderful opportunity, I think, from the Pharisees to engage the disciples of Jesus. They've had it with Jesus. You know, they can't corner Jesus. They can't triangulate Jesus. So every time they ask Jesus a question, Jesus would come with a retort or with an answer that is always embarrassing to the disciples. So every time they try to pin Jesus, Jesus, you should be in that box. Jesus comes out of that box and tells a different story. And so it's an embarrassing and difficult time for the Pharisees and the rulers of the law. Now, because they cannot get to Jesus, well, where else can they go? They went for the weaker link. And so they saw their disciples, and the disciples were not observing the ritual washing of hands in keeping with the sacred tradition alive. They do not wash their hands, and according to the Talmud, in the Jewish tradition, if you do not wash your hands before eating, then that would be a cause for separation and exclusion from the community of faith. You see, the purity laws in the Bible, in the scripture, were really beneficial for the well-being of our community. And I think we've seen that in many places today, right? You go to the hospital, you know, there's something there to wash your hands and to clean your hands. You leave this church, and if you want a sanitizer, there's something there. If you want to come in before the worship service, there's also sanitizer there. So some of these things are a very practical aspect. And I think that's why we say it's kosher, right? For anything that lives up to a standard by God, it is practical. And so in a community meal where there is a big deal about hospitality and sanitation, you know, if you put a big plate of food in the center and you start digging in, you know, you want to be sure that your hands are clean, right? And prayer times are also occasions for presenting our bodies as holy to God. And so Jesus came to the rescue again. And Jesus answered the questions that were really intended for the disciples. The entourage ran smack into the cleanliness code and the godliness code. But Jesus said, you know, it is not really what comes into a person's body, but rather what comes out. It's really what's in the heart. Because in the Bible, we know that the heart is the seat of emotion. But if you really are angry, it doesn't come from the heart. It comes from the gut. And so when you are feeling terrified and when you are afraid, what happens? It's in your gut, isn't it? That's why Jesus never developed ulcers, because, you know, it doesn't come from the gut. He doesn't have that experience. But we, as human beings, when we are nervous, it comes from the gut. And that's why we are a people who are always prone to nervousness. And we are a people who are always agitated, especially when we are truly worried. And so it's something that we see today. You know, the culture wars that we hear all around us are always finding its way through our religious expressions. The culture wars, for example, that we hear today is about the manifest beauty to change life and to make a difference in our world today. I wish that's the only culture war that we can engage in as a people. But unfortunately, the rhetoric of or the language of exclusion is so prevalent in our world today. My country, your group, your church, my small group, my ministry, my study group, and so on. There's a whole language of exclusion. And it is really very difficult to navigate, you know, that path and remain steadfast to our own faith. But you see, what the gospel says is something that liberates me. It is the love of God that will not let us go. It's kind of like the Energizer body. It keeps on going and going. The love of God really keeps us going. So instead of trying to ridicule the disciples, dishing dirt about one another, Jesus offered this reminder, you know, that the real dirt is ground deep inside and right in your own hearts. And then to echo the book of James, it says, be ye doers of the word, not only hearers of the word, because every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from heaven, the Father of lights. So in other words, we walk the talk, and that is really the language that resonates today. It is also an echo of the book of Psalms, where it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Setting the standard makes us all accountable. Well, I served as a busboy at a Denny's restaurant in Houston many years ago. Didn't know what a busboy was. I thought I was going to drive a school bus or something. I really didn't know. I've got a license to drive a minibus, so I thought, hey, that's a good thing. I didn't realize that it involved going into the cooler and mopping the floor and trying to get out of that freshly mopped floor without falling down, because there was a thin layer of ice. And I didn't realize it's about cleaning the grease pan and recycling it. What do I know about grease pan and oil and all that stuff? And I haven't met a dishwasher before, and I'm not sure how many dishes and glasses that I have accidentally dropped. I never keep count. But I realized that there is an art. Do you know that there is an art of washing dishes with a dishwasher? And if you spray it just like the right angle, a cup, it will not come back to you and you remain dry.
but if you squirt it the wrong way, there you go. Hey, you know, I take a shower almost every hour. I stack those dishes together. But there is an art, you know. You rinse, you soak. You rinse, you soak. I think that's the pattern. You rinse, you sanitize, and then you dry. And there's a pattern to everything. And if you don't, then, you know, if you don't follow the sequence, you miss one, then you are really running the risk of ruining the standard of Dennis. I'm not sure if they have a standard, but I think they do have a standard in sanitation. And so this is, in a sense, what one of the leaders were after. Can you just follow the standards? You know, my grandmother, whenever I washed dishes and dried dishes, after about a couple of minutes, she will come again and wash dishes and dry them again. Do you have a grandmother like that, you know, or our household like that? Isn't it great, you know? You wash the dishes, you took time, and then to wash again. So I'm not sure whether it's obsessive compulsive disorder. It's just that's the way she was, and sounds familiar to any of you. But the washing of hands is really very intricate pattern in the Jewish tradition. And they said there's about 10 ways of washing your hands before you eat a meal or engage in any other community living. For example, water is poured over one's hand with an aid of a pitcher. It is said it is the most developed of all Jewish rituals and the most important because it is mentioned in the Talmud that when you wash your hands in that way, it is lifting up your hands in a time of holy prayer. It is not exclusion, but rather inclusion. But let me reiterate again that it is about the manner of eating. But when I look at the scripture, what is going on? There's no festival, you know. There's no feast. I was thinking it's more like a 3 o'clock break time. In Spanish, we call it merienda or snack. You know, these people were just there to eat pita bread or whatever bread is available. When we were in Israel, we saw this gentleman carrying a plate of bread that was handed down, I'm sure, from the baker to the vendor to the runner and then to whoever is going to receive this. You know, they were bent over because of what? Eating pita bread? Pretzels? You know, you're not talking about meat or potatoes and I know some of your favorite hummus, something like that. You're talking about pita bread that has been exposed in the sun and with the elements, and they got bent over because of the rules. But Jesus, really, it's interesting, Jesus will not use this kind of trap go to waste. You know, so don't mess around with Jesus, what Jesus is saying. Because if you try to corner Jesus and to mess around with Jesus, Jesus will tell you really what it is. And so he looked at the disciples, and then he looked at the Pharisees and the rulers of the law. And Jesus went all the way back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it is very important, one of the commandments, to honor your father and mother, because if you do so, you will live long and you will have a very good life. It is honoring that commitment. And then Jesus said, using their own tradition, Jesus said, look at the rules and regulations that you have said. There is a word in the Bible that it says korban, or a unit. And they said, you give to your parents a korban. That's all you do. You think by offering a korban, you have followed the rules and regulations. And what is happening to you, according to Jesus, is after you have done these rules and regulations, you step back. And then what happened to your loved ones? What happened to your commitment? And there was a stunned silence because the scripture was correct. And Jesus was correct. Jesus was not against observing rules for living, But rather, Jesus was initiating a renewed commitment to honor our commitments as part of the community rule. Jesus started to dig around, to dig deeply, because these kinds of commitments are not rules per se, but they are faith commitment, our faith commitment for the community of faith. Much is really required for all of us. And sometimes when we think about our church, our community, if people are looking for a place where the church is, hey, it's easy, it's cool, things are happening, I think that's a good church. But people really are looking for a great God. A great God who requires much of us. If God is not requiring anything of you, then perhaps we need to be prayerfully consider again the scripture. Much is required from all of us. He listed the litany of things that we have fallen short. Imagine again the stunned silence. All of these evil things, Jesus said, come from the inside and contaminate a person in God's sight. But what comes from the heart is the expression of God's will for our lives. But I was still thinking about the disciples. They were still hungry. You know, the plate of bread remains unbroken. The water pitcher undisturbed. The refreshment, the wine still unpoured into their glasses. But Jesus allowed space to create something new. So maybe there is really something about that down comforter that I had mentioned earlier. Maybe there is something about those bubbles, those loose spaces, loose structure that provide air and room to breathe and offer warmth. Maybe precisely that space is not really your space or my space. I think it's really God's space. And James wrote, be doers of the word and not hearers only, hearing and community coming together into God's space. Thanks be to God. Amen.